Otaku no Podcast, episode 45 for Saturday, August 30th, 2014. Anime Expo 2014, interview with Danny Chu. Well, we are back as promised with our second and unfortunately final interview from Anime Expo 2014. I'm still in the process. Actually, I'm just about finished with editing our group podcast review thing of Doom. Unfortunately, that's taken a bit longer than expected, not only because I've been extremely busy, I've got tons of other stuff going on, but also because due to technical difficulties, there were some audio glitches, and fixing those turned out to be a little more difficult than anticipated. But I was able to salvage the audio, and so I should be finished with that this weekend. So look for that to start coming out on the feed next week. We went on for over 2 hours, so I'm going to have to cut it up into two separate episodes. But those should start coming out starting Monday or so. I only have one quick announcement today. I've mentioned before that, unfortunately, things have been pretty tight money-wise this year for me. And in particular, I need to start saving up if we're going to make it to PMX this year, which we'd really like to try and do. So we could really use your help on that. And I have mentioned this several times before, and there's a page at otakunopodcast.com that lists all of the places where you can buy stuff through our affiliates. It doesn't cost you anything extra, and it gives us a little something that helps us out. In particular, we love Amazon. I mean, what's not to love about Amazon? They have literally everything for sale. Not just anime, but other movies and TV shows on DVD and Blu-ray. They've got video games. They've got computer software and hardware. They've got electronics, you know, MP3 players, iPhones, iPods, iPads, other tablets. They've got housewares, you know, kitchen appliances and furniture, home accessories. They've got clothing. They've got shoes. They've got toys. They've got games. They've got hobby stuff. Literally, they have everything. And, you know, nothing could be easier. Just click an order and they ship it to you and it's really fast. And they're even really good about returns. So if you end up buying something that you end up not liking, they make it pretty easy to return it for either a refund or to exchange it for something else. Now, we've set up a special page at otakunopodcast.com. If you go to otakunopodcast.com/Amazon, you'll see a great big Amazon banner there that'll show you some of their most popular products as well as let you search for products. But there's also a section on that page where we're going to list some of the products that we've featured in recent podcast episodes. For example, in the Anime Expo episode that's coming out over the next week or so, you know, at the end we give our traditional anime picks, and of course a lot of those are available for sale on Amazon. So those will be listed. I've started putting up some of our picks from previous episodes up on there, so please do check it out. And remember, costs you nothing extra, and it gives us a little extra money to help keep things running around here, and is very much appreciated. So today we present our second and final interview from Anime Expo. This one came as kind of a surprise. On Sunday morning, last day of AX, I happened to run into my former co-host, Michelle Klein-Hass. Actually, I managed to catch the last few minutes of her Oda Genki panel, which I'm told went very well. But anyways, we were kind of wandering around after her panel ended, and we happened across the Danny Chu booth. And lo and behold, the man himself was actually present. And in sort of a cool impromptu thing, he was actually able to give us a few minutes of his time to talk about his various projects and what he's been up to. And so without further ado, here's our chat with Danny Chu.
This is Donald from Talking to Podcast and
Michelle Klein-Hass from Tokyo Pop.
We're here with Mr. Danny Chu. How are you doing?
I'm doing quite well. Thank you for having me.
How's the show been for you?
Oh, it's been absolutely fantastic. It's been very hectic, 4 days, and I've got to meet lots of different comrades, and it's been awesome.
Excellent, excellent. Now you've got the Mariah smart doll here. How? What gave you the idea to start that project?
So I fell in love with this doll culture through another company's dolls, a company called Vox, and they had a line of Adolphi Dreams. And ever since I started writing about their products, I noticed that many folks around the world, they started to own these dolls. And it was a great way to connect with folks. And I think they are, for me, they're like works of art as well. And I've always wanted to have one of my own mascot character, so which is why I decided to make my own dolls.
Excellent. Chelsea, you want to ask?
So, yeah, since I'm the one who has the bit more of the doll smarts here, I'm going to ask you some more intelligent questions about dolls. Okay. Or at least I'm going to attempt to. So I'm very impressed by this armature you've created. This has all been done through 3D printing and digital modeling, huh?
Yep, that's right. So traditionally dolls would be sculpted by hand, and but that would take a very long time, and it doesn't make too much sense when you need to make small changes. But as everything's done in 3D, you can make those changes very easily. Scale the whole model up or down, because when you make molds, there's shrinkage involved, and that shrinkage percent is based on the type of material, the type of molding, and so on and so on.
So, but what's impressive is this armature you've created, because there are certain weaknesses that exist in the armatures that Volks and Obitsu have. Primarily in the spinal region, I have noticed that you've come up with a very different spine for the doll. Was this a thought to the robustness of the skeleton?
One of the reasons why I came up with the spine was actually a few reasons. One was that I identified it to be very sturdy, existing products on the market, and all I needed to do was to have it made into the same color as the frame. And another reason is that it's much more closer to the human spine.
Yes, it is. Because the Volks, the Volks frame and the Obitsu frame only have a few points of articulation there, and sometimes the vinyl gets in the way.
Yeah. So, and it also enables me to have a much more wide range of articulation, and also means there's much more space inside, so that I can put electronics or other gadgets inside as well.
That's great. I mean, me personally, since I do a lot of photography with my dolls, I'm really not interested in the animated version. But it's a remarkable technical achievement that you're able to create an animated version of this doll. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
You're talking about the robotic version, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So the robotic version is much more complex. Project which involves doing things which nobody has ever done before, by having servo motors fit inside the shell and be very small at the same time. So we're having lots of challenges making it, but it's going to be a great. I think it's going to be a great product. It's going to change lots of people's lives when it's released.
And it all runs on free and open source software. It runs on Android.
So initially it was going to run on Android, and but right now we're focusing on the hardware right now, and the choice of software can come later on, and I'm sure people will be able to install their own OS and their own software.
So this is going to be a completely hackable doll as well, as far as creating ways of making it move and stuff like that.
That's right. I don't think there's too much sense in making it clothes, because people are going to purchase products, and I want people to be able to customize, their Mirai to how they want her to be.
Yeah, because it's Sony, when they put out the Aibo, they were actually squashing a lot of innovation that was going on, because they simply did not want people having access to the software and hacking things. But that's really cool that you're deciding to go with something more open.
Yeah. So, I remember owning Vios in the past, Sony Vios, and you couldn't customize them, which is why I stopped using them. So, yeah, it's best to give customization to the consumer.
Awesome. Awesome. So, you know, it's like you've got the dolls, you've got your various and sundry television and web projects and things like that. Is there nothing that it seems like you've got so much going on? Is there anything that you see as a challenge in the future that you want to do?
So the challenge right now is to sell 1 million units by 2020, and so that there's lots involved in that process, and I think it would be more than what lots of other like doll manufacturers can achieve. So that's going to be my next challenge.
Awesome, awesome. And I understand that you're working on a new procedure for making the dolls.
That's right. So injection molding for the outer shell. So that has never been done for this class of doll before. It's all slush casting. So if I can do this in injection molding, it means that in a day we can make like thousands and thousands of them. And that will help speed up the process of like generating this this clone army.
Will you be making dolls that will allow people to do their own face-ups?
Yes. So, I mean, it's a very simple process of, like, releasing faces whereby people, blank faces, which people can customize themselves.
That's awesome. Okay. Donald, do you have any other questions?
No, that's about it.
Okay, very good. Thank you so very much, Danny.
Okay, thank you.
Well, there you have it. Thank you again to Danny. You know, obviously a very busy man, but he was able to take a few minutes out of his busy day and chat with us, and we really appreciate it very much. Thank you very much. Be sure and check out his website, DannyChu.com, for all of the various things that he's up to, including the really cool Mirai Suenaga smart doll, which I am seriously looking forward to. That's going to be awesome. And that about does it for this episode of Talking Dope Podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. Remember, as always, if you have anything you'd like to say, maybe you have a comment or a question for us, please contact us. You can email us at feedback@talkingdopepodcast.com. We have a voice call-in line. You can leave us a message via Skype. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook. There are a ton of ways to get in touch with us, and all of those can be found on the Contact Us page on the Talking Dope Podcast website. Also, do remember to check out the website for our blog postings in between episodes, as well as other, you know, important announcements and stuff. And check out the various other places you can find us online. Twitter.com/Otaku No Podcast, Facebook.com/Otaku No Podcast, Tumblr.com/Otaku No Podcast, our YouTube channel. We're everywhere, people. So please check us out. Anyways, that's it for today. I'll see you next time.